Stay standing while I read the verse this morning and pray for you. But so this morning's message, we're in a new series called Contrast. And we started last week. This morning, I thought what I would do is I didn't want to necessarily do the message I had prepared today, just because of so many people just maybe not making it to church or not being online, whatever. I was like, maybe I'll hold it for a week. And then I thought, well, I do have another message that I prepared for the series, but I didn't think we had enough time to do it. And so I kind of put it aside. And so you're gonna laugh when you hear the title. But I think it fits. And I wasn't doing this to be clever. Like, the title of my message wasn't supposed to be clever when you think about what happened this morning and last night. But I want to read this verse to you, and then I want to jump into the word. And I think that God has something for all of us here this morning. Can I hear an amen? Come on. I believe that he really does want to speak to you. So wherever you're coming from, whatever your context is, you know, whatever your age, whatever part of the city you drove in, whatever, you know, whoever you are, I believe that God has something for all of us here this morning. And I'm going to read from Job this morning, Job chapter 38. And so you'll understand what I'm trying to say when I read you the verse. So Job chapter 38, verse 22 and 23 says this: Have you ever entered the storehouse of the snow? Have you seen the storehouse of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble and for days of war and battle? So two nights ago, after the wonderful wedding that we had for Pastor Tasha, I know that not everyone was there, but we did have a great time. I mean, Pastor Tasha and Josh, and you know, they're off someplace warm this morning. I remember, so when it was over, we got home. And when I got home late that night, it was raining. And you know, we get rain, but we don't get a lot of rain overall here, you know, because most of the time it falls as snow in Denver. And so I thought, oh, maybe it's gonna snow tonight. But I got home, it was pouring rain. And then I went to bed. And when I got up the next morning, there was about 8 inches of snow in our front yard. And we live out in Southeast Aurora. We always get more out there. And I thought, wow, okay. So I woke up to something. You've had this experience if you're in Denver. You'll have this experience where you wake up in the morning and you didn't realize that a weather pattern was on its way, and you get surprised. And when I look at this verse, have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or seen the storehouse of hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? I felt that the Lord was really speaking to me today. So I want to do a message this morning called Waking Up to Winter. Waking Up to Winter. That was the message that I had deleted from the series. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm so grateful today. I'm overwhelmed. Honestly, Lord, I'm so overwhelmed by your goodness. And thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing in the church. Thank you for every person that calls this place home. Thank you for every person online. And thank you for those that I've just played such an integral part of what God is doing here. And Father, I thank you that through the best times in life and the worst times in life, you were always there. And I thank you, Jesus, that when we don't see it coming, you did. When we didn't know what we were about to face, you knew what we were about to face, and you had a plan to help us and to guide us and to lead us and strengthen us. So today, Jesus, I pray that you'd bless us today. And I pray that every person in this room, that you would speak to their heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to their thoughts, and that your thoughts are higher than ours. Your ways are higher than our ways. And Father, we're just grateful. We're just grateful to be in your presence today, Jesus. Let us never forget how good you are. Let us never forget how much you love us. And let us never forget how you have our best interest in mind, even when we're going through trouble. So today we thank you for the word. We thank you for the verse. We're gonna have a good time today, Jesus. But before I stop, I pray for every church in the Denver metro area. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would cover them. I pray, Lord, for revival in Denver. I pray revival is not about one church. Revival is about all the churches and all of the people experiencing the presence of God. I pray you'd bless every sermon, every song, and that every person who walks through the door of a house, at a strip mall, in a church building, wherever they are, I pray that they would experience the presence of Jesus in our state and in our city today. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen and clapped your hands one more time. All right, and you can be seated. You can go ahead and you can have a seat. Okay, waking up to winter. Contrast, God's sovereignty overshadows man's strength. Now, you will learn in life that you're not as strong as you think you are. I have a buddy of mine years ago. I mean, he's still a buddy, but I haven't seen him in years. He was a federal agent, and he weighed about 340 pounds, and he was always armed. You know, that's federal agent guys, but you know, he was always armed, and he was just massive. And when I would see him, he'd come to church on a Sunday morning, and I would see him. His name was Tim. And the first thing that I would always think is, I'm afraid of this man, because he was so intimidating. And I remember during worship services, just watching him just be strong, you know, and not giving into the presence of God. I remember watching him just, you know, almost like when the Holy Spirit would come on him, he would kind of start to flex his muscles and keep his eyes from, you know, from tearing up. And then one day, I don't know what the pastor said, I don't know what it was, but I remember standing next to Tim, and I look over, and probably the biggest man that I've personally ever been friends with, this guy began to weep. And he began to weep so uncontrollably that his whole body started to shake. And now here's the problem with charismatics. Every once in a while, somebody goes over in the spirit. And I thought to myself, Lord Jesus, he's my friend, but if he begins to fall out, I'm gonna move. And so what I need you to do, Lord, is either catch him or protect him, because I'm not gonna get caught under this giant human being. His body began to shake, he began to cry, and just about the time I thought he was gonna kind of fall over, he just got down on his knees and he began to weep. And when it was all over, I said, how you doing, buddy? He made this comment to me. He said, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And I think that there are just times when we're in the middle of a winter season where we have to acknowledge who God is, and we have to acknowledge his strength, and we have to acknowledge his plan, and we have to acknowledge that we're not God, and that sometimes we don't have a plan. And sometimes the greatest struggles that we have is when we're going through things, and then all of a sudden we start to think that we have to come up with the plan. There's nothing more stressful, there's nothing that brings more anxiety and more tension than when you have some massive decision to make, or there's a massive kind of problem right in front of you and you don't know what to do, and you sit there and you just kind of wrestle through it. And in our own humanity, what we do is we just fight, we overthink, we stay up all night, we cry a little bit. And it's almost like sometimes God has to let us go through those seasons to the point that we actually surrender to him and we say, Lord, I really don't know what to do, so I'm gonna have to give it to you because I have nothing left. Now, the part of maturing in the body of Christ and in life is that the faster we get to that point, the less that we suffer. In the sense that the faster we give it up to Jesus, the quicker he gets to do whatever it is that he wants to do, the way he wants to do it. And so we learn to live this life of surrender as Christians. But I was thinking to myself, and I was remembering as a church planter, when we first started 13 and a half years ago, you know, we had trailers and we did the whole thing. If you're a church planter, you get it, and you've heard our stories. But like one of the things that I prayed for every week was, Lord, don't let there be snow on Saturday night. Because if there was snow on Saturday night, you know, our little church of 50 people, our little church of 100 people, I mean, that would wipe us out. And back then, there weren't as many people that were online, giving online, right? So 90% of people back then, even 13 years ago, 80, 90% gave in buckets, right? So now everybody gives online. So if we're just being transparent, I was like, oh my gosh, we gotta pay the rent for the hotel, and we gotta do all these things, and we could get in trouble if there's no services. And I think in the first 3 months, maybe 4 months, there were 12 snowstorms on Saturday night. So almost every single week, there was a snowstorm on Saturday night. And I've told this story before, but like I got up on one of the mornings, I was like, do I cancel? Do I not cancel? And there was like 2 feet of snow. Now I gotta tell you this too. Colorado has changed a little bit. We're not as tough as Colorado used to be with snow. And I think that's because to all you people who are moving in, you need to grow up. We need to get tough, okay? I'm just telling you, because when I first got here, if there was 2 feet of snow, they wouldn't even cancel school. I'm just telling you, I would take my kids to school and have to get tow trucks after I drop them off just to get home. And I'm like, why don't they cancel school? I'm from Portland. If there is snow next week, they cancel school today. This is how it works. So I remember one morning I got up and I was like, I gotta cancel. You know, we've already set up, we set up the night before. I'm going to cancel, we gotta cancel. And I thought, I'm gonna go for it. So I got in my car early like I normally do and I'm headed to the hotel and I'm driving by the Catholic church. There was like 2 feet of snow. And you know what? The Catholic church was packed. Overflow parking, 25 people with shovels, you know what I mean? And here I am in my little SUV trying to decide if I'm gonna cancel church for 80 people. And I look over and the Catholics look like they're having revival. And you know what I said to Jesus? If the Catholics can do it, I'm not going out like this. There's no way I'm giving up. It's not happening. And I remember plowing through the snow. So I wanna thank the Catholic church for giving me a backbone. But I remember 12 weeks, almost 12 in a row. It was so discouraging at times. I remember when we found out that my father-in-law, Bob, had cancer. And those are sudden things. Or when Sharon got cancer, or when my mom passed. I remember these things, these are all sudden. I remember when one of my friends got a call on a Sunday night and they had lost their job and they didn't get to go to work on Monday morning. I remember just a few weeks ago when the pipes broke here and 20,000 square feet of our building was flooded and it was sudden and it was unexpected and we ended up having to close our daycare and our preschool because it would take months to figure it all out. And so we had to shut it down and that was really a difficult decision for us, but it wasn't something we just wanted to do. I remember not too long ago, I got up on a Sunday morning. I'd been praying. I was ready to preach like never before. I get in my car on a cold winter weekend on a Sunday and my battery was dead. There's nothing that tests my Christianity more than a dead battery on a Sunday morning. You know it's God testing me, right? Because now I have like internal road rage on a Sunday and I'm the pastor and I have to be a Christian all the way to church. Like the whole drive. I gotta be a Christian for the whole drive. I remember as a young man at 16 years old, when my mom called me and our home was so violent, our home was so hard and so violent because of a lot of different circumstances. My mom just called me on the phone from work and she said, it was on my 16th birthday. Like my mom's in heaven, the hardest phone call she ever had to make, but it was the right one. She said, Doug, she said, look, I love you. I have two kids and I can only save one of you and your sister needs me and you have to get out of the house before something bad happens. And I remember packing a little blue Nike duffel bag out of nowhere, realizing that I had to get in an old pickup and drive away and I never went home for my 16th birthday. I've been on my own. I remember waking up going, where am I gonna go? What am I gonna do? How am I gonna make any money? Like, I have to go to school, right? So now I'm going to school, living in the back of a truck, never expected to be there, you know, without going through the whole backstory. But there are just times when you wake up and something has come upon you that you did not expect, that you weren't thinking this would ever happen. And all of a sudden you wake up and it's winter and you don't know what to do. And I felt very specifically this morning that because I had put this message on the back burner, I think that some of you here woke up to winter this week. I think somebody in this room woke up to winter in the last month, in the last 30 days, and you're facing some things that you never thought you would have to face. Now, I want to read this verse to you in context again, because I think it's really important that we understand what God's saying here. So he says this, verse 22 and 23. Have you visited the vast, cold treasure where the snow is stored? Now this is gonna be in the Message Bible. Have you visited the place where the snow is stored? Now, this is God speaking to Job. Job with an attitude, Job complaining, you know, the life of Job. Hey, Job, have you ever visited the storehouse where I keep the snow? Hey, Job, have you ever gazed on the shimmering frozen armories where the hail is held? The hail which I keep on reserve for the time of great trouble. Isn't that interesting? For the day of battle, for the day of war. I'm going to read it one more time because I want us to just kind of let this settle in, and then I just have a couple of quick points. Hey, Job, have you visited the vast cold treasure where the snow is kept? This is God speaking to Job. Oh, hey, and Job, by the way, have you ever gazed on the shimmering frozen armories where the hail is held? You know, the hail that I keep in reserve for a time of great trouble, for the day of battle, for the day of war. And he's speaking to Job, and there's a couple of things that hit me. Number one, snow and hail is often considered bad. It's a problem, but God says it's a weapon. The thing that we view as the wrong thing, God says is the very thing that he's reserved for you in your time of trouble. So what is the hail? What is it that God's talking about? Well, you see, sometimes what we go through is the very thing, if not the only thing, that can produce in us the thing that will glorify God the most. And if we wake up every day and we say, Lord, my job is to glorify you. So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what language you speak. One of the hardest things for us in our humanity to understand is that there are times when God will allow us to go through some of the most difficult things in our entire life. And we will never understand ever. We will never understand why God would allow bad things to happen to good people. How could you do this in my life? Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you that on my 16th birthday, when I packed up about $9, and I had an old blue duffel bag, Nike duffel bag with everything that I owned in it, and I spent the next 12 months sleeping in the back of a pickup, I never dreamed that I would be sitting on this platform having a conversation with you. You cannot put God in a human box and define pain through the human experience. Pain can only be defined through the experience and the destiny and the eternal purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. Difficult. It's hard. It's a difficult one. But it says that he stores up the hail and stores up the snow, and it actually becomes a weapon for you. It actually produces you something in you that nothing else would. And of course, it does speak to the fact that God has a plan for your enemies as well. And so there's just times when you may not even know that God's working on your behalf. You may never know it until you get to heaven, but the enemies are after you. The devil's trying to get you. Things aren't going right. And you know what the Lord does? He just sends them a snowstorm on a Saturday night. Oh, you're gonna go after Pastor Doug on Sunday. He sends them a storm on Saturday night. And we may never understand the depth of that until we're in eternity. But it happens. So difficulty then. Here's what I think about difficulty. Difficulty, even tragedy, drives us to God so that our relationship with him is based on dependence and not independence. The greatest experience in your life will be when you go from independence to dependence. Now that has to be lived. It's got to be lived. And you can live it at any time in your life. You could be a young person. You could be in your 60s, 70s, 80s. But at some point, you will discern and discover that this principle has to be lived. And it's okay. Because God wants to take us to a place where we don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. And the problem with reading the Bible. Here's the problem with reading the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, man, the Bible is really intense? You know what I mean? Like, the Bible is really intense. Like I don't want to die like that. You know, I don't want to die like a disciple. I'm a disciple of Christ. I don't know if I want that in my life. They were all martyred and killed, their heads chopped off and burned and, you know, and stoned to death. And you're like, I want to be a disciple. I don't know. I don't know if, you know, I do. Have you ever looked at the Bible and thought, man, the stories are so intense, but what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna claim a 2024 version of that. which means that there won't be any ice on the freeway. The worst thing I want to go through today is a little ice. And see, but the Lord doesn't look at it that way. The Lord looks at us and says that he understands time and he understands context. So what the Lord does is he looks at you and he goes, okay, he goes, I'm gonna make you an offer, right? So I'm going to offer you, I'm gonna give you the opportunity to go through something. And if you want, whatever it is, and if you want, you can go through it and discover your dependence on me, and you can abandon your independence. It's an offer. It's a test. It's a moment in time. And God will continually do that until we find a place in our life where we begin to bow our knee to him. It's not about what happened in the Old Testament. I just look at the Old Testament and the New Testament and I go, I don't want any of that. The Lord says, oh, that's okay, because I have something new and fresh for you in 2024. It's not gonna look like that, but it's gonna feel that way. So difficulty is about learning dependence. Number two, we also have to acknowledge that God is there and he's available. You see, God's saying to Job, he's like, Job, look, I'm right here and I got your weapons. I got you covered. I've got your back. And then Job goes, with what? He goes, snow and hail. Job's like, what does that mean? But also he's trying to humble Job. He's like, hey, Job, you think you know everything. I'm just curious. Have you ever been to heaven? Okay, no. Have you ever seen where I keep the storehouse of the snow that I dump on the earth? Just to drive home this point of sovereignty that I made everything, I created everything, I know you, I'm in your corner. I know what you've just been through. I know what life is like for you. And by the way, you might think that this is what I'm using against you, but really I'm gonna use it for you. I'm just curious, Job. Have you ever just been where I'm at? Are you God? Because if you're not God, then you probably just need to hold your tongue. There are times when we're going through things that we need to hold our tongue and we need to submit our emotions to the sovereignty of God, the hardest thing in the world to do. God knows you. He gets you. I mean, if you know me, you know, some of you have been with me for 13 years. I'm very honest with God. Like, I have full on arguments with Jesus. My prayer times don't look like what you would see on like a meme. You know what I mean? Like, there's never going to be a meme with like me, you know, like this or something. It's not. You're going to see me like in the car having an argument with somebody that's not there. That's the meme. Pastor Doug's lost it in the car. That's just me having a conversation with Jesus. Because Jesus wants us to be authentic and real. Doesn't want it to be too religious or pious. He knows you as a real person. So you gotta learn to talk to him as a real person, right? You just gotta be like, and he'll forgive you, right? And if you're a parent, your kids kind of say something crazy and then a little later they come back, they're like, that was a little crazy, mom and dad. And they're like, oh, I know. I knew you'd figure it out, you know? That's just kind of how it is. We're children. So we have to acknowledge that he's there. And we have to acknowledge that he's available to us, but it's hard to do. R.C. Sproul said this, and I love this quote. Most people salute the sovereignty of God, but they believe the sovereignty of man. Most people come to church and they go, got it. That was a great sermon. Woo, worship was, woo, was on fire today, you know. Hashtag presence. You know, whew, that was amazing, you know. Kaylee got some new pandas. Only 20 of you know what those are, that's okay. It's all good. And we salute, we give a trite action towards the sovereignty of God, but then we believe the sovereignty of man. Man is in control. My context is in control. My problem is in control. My friends are in control. My teacher is in control. My education is in control. My coach is in control. My spouse is in control. Did you not even your spouse is in control? My children are in control. My circumstance, my finances are in control. And this is what we do. We look at God. We come in on a Sunday morning. We go, that was amazing. That was great. I love Jesus. I love church. I've checked all my boxes. But we don't submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God. So what happens is when we start to go through something difficult, when we wake up and it's winter, because we haven't exercised the sovereignty of God and the softening of our hearts towards him, we experience the emptiness of answers and the hardness of our own heart. And God says, it's time for you to bow. It's time for you to let it go. It's time for you to open up. Because God's in control. Man's not in control. And I'm just telling you, you're gonna learn this. The older you get, you're gonna learn God's in control and man is not in control. And we only get so much time on this earth, and the greatest revelation that we will ever have on this earth is that God is in control, God loves you, and he forgave you unconditionally. We just gotta get through it. We just gotta get through all the stuff. There's so much stuff. Anybody going through stuff right now? You've been through some stuff this year? Come on, can I see a hand? You've been through some stuff? Okay, if you've been through some stuff, then God, all he wants you to do with your stuff is just give it to him, right? Let me put it this way. You know that you're close to Jesus when sovereignty is the only foundation for worship you have left. I have come in to church as the pastor and not wanted to worship because things are so out of control and I can't fix it. I can't change it. There's nothing I can do. And I'm like, what do I do? And I'll sit here in the front row and God will speak to me. And he will say, are you the pastor today or are you my son? And are you more worried about who's looking at you than you are the fact that I'm actually watching you, watching over you? There's times where I've come into church, you guys, and I will sit at the front where the only thing I have left to worship with is just the foundation that I know that God knows my name. How you doing today? Not so great, but he knows my name. How's it been this week? This week was rough. This was a big week. Well, how you feeling? I don't know how I'm feeling, but God knows my name. He knows who I am. How'd you feel when you got the phone call, you know, about your mom? Oh, it was horrible. I'm still broken. God knows my name. How'd you feel when the bank account was empty? Not super good, a little hungry, but God knows my name. How'd you feel when you got up on a Sunday morning and you had a car that didn't work and you had to go preach and you came in at the end of worship and everybody thought you were being bougie? Well, pretty good. Kind of embarrassing, but God knows my name and hopefully no one saw me at the stoplight. You know what? There's just times where the only foundation that you have left, the only thing that you can stand on, the only answer that you have is that God is sovereign. Sovereign means he's in control. He rules and he reigns. He's a sovereign. And his reign extends past Sunday morning, y'all. See, we come into Sunday morning and we sing God reigns and we have this submission to God in our language and our salute and God reigns. And then we walk out of here on a Monday morning and we forget who it was that we were worshiping on Sunday. And we've gone from the reign of God to the sovereignty of man. And somehow, if you want to have a really great experience in life, just with Jesus is take his reign away from the Sunday, take it into Monday and let him rule and reign over your life the whole week. Because really where it's going to hit you, it's not going to hit you on Sunday. It's going to hit you on like Tuesday. It's going to hit you on Thursday. It's going to hit you on Friday. And you know what I love? I love sometimes like the most deep worshipers. And this is what I believe for all of us. That the deepest, most passionate worshipers who come in here on a Sunday and they look like they're worshiping with all their hearts. Sometimes I know it's because they've been emptied out for the last 5 days. The last 5 days have been so tough, they got nowhere else to go except to come to church. And can I tell you, if you got nowhere else to go, go to church. If you don't know what to do, go to church. If you don't know who to talk to, come to church. You know what I mean? Come in broken, messed up, hair all nappy. I don't care, come in here. Don't take a shower. Guys, maybe, but just get here. See, what I don't like is that when people are going through something tough, they come up with 35 things to do other than go get in the presence of Jesus. Because if you had the worst week of your life, you're about to have the best worship service you've ever had. That's how it works. So number three. Fear wants you to give up, but faith requires that you let go. There's a difference between giving up and letting go. If you're living in fear and you don't have the sovereignty of God pulsing through every cell of your being, like if you don't have a revelation that God's really in control no matter what happens, you'll have a spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear will come on you and everything will begin to look bleak. Everything is gonna look dark and bleak and like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. There is a point in faith where you learn that there's a tiny little line between like fear and letting go on the other side. There's a tiny little line. Fear means I wanna give up. I'm gonna give up. Faith says, I'm gonna give it to God. I'm gonna give it over to him. I love Oscar Wilde. I don't know if you've ever read any of these guys, but these are some of my favorite old school authors. But Oscar Wilde wrote this: what seems to us as bitter trials are often blessings in disguise. And what you'll never understand the blessing if you never learn to go from fear to faith. You gotta go from fear to faith. You gotta go from hanging on and struggling to letting go. Don't give up, just let go. There's a difference. Giving up means there's no answer, I'm done. Letting go means I'm giving it to God because he's sovereign. You know, some of you guys have been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've given up. You're like, I'm done, I'm finished, it's over. Well, turn that language from I'm done, I'm finished, I give up, it's over, to I'm done, I'm finished, and I'm giving it to God because I have nothing left to do. I don't know what else to do. I have to give it to him. I love this in the Message Bible. There's a famous, in case you don't know, if you don't know this, there's a couple of famous chapters in Hebrews that talk about faith. Now, what I love about Hebrews, and these are some of my favorite verses, is there's some athletic metaphors in here, and there's a stadium, you know, and there's this person about to run a race, and he looks up into the stadium, and he sees all these thousands of people that, you know, some of them have all gone before him, and they finished their race. I love the metaphors here. But it starts in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and I'm gonna read it from the Message Bible, because I think that this, I love the way it says this. Okay, so, you know, it's like, faith is hanging on and believing in something that you don't see and all that. You get that. But let me read it from the Message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Faith is the substance of what we cannot see. It's the evidence of things hoped for. No, let me say it this way. The fundamental fact of this existence is that trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything. It's the foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. This act of faith, this believing, this leaning in, this understanding that there's a foundation under us that when I don't know what else to do, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to say, I don't know who to talk to, I just stand there. Sometimes I just close my eyes and I just stand there, and under my feet is the sovereignty of God. And I don't have to articulate it. I don't have to say it. I just sit there knowing that I'm out of energy, I'm out of answers, and I'm out of time. And so God, you have to come through. That's faith. I know he's going to come through. I know he's going to show up. I know that he has an answer. And I know, just as it was written in the Bible, though he slay me, this is what the Bible says about Job and other heroes. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. When will the American Western church, and I mean, I don't want to get preachy, but like we've lost something. That he may slay me, yet will I praise him. No matter what I'm feeling, I'm gonna praise him. No matter what I think, I'm gonna praise him. No matter what anybody says to me, I don't like it when people say mean things to me. I don't like it. I don't like mean people. That was for free. I will praise him, right? I'll praise him. I'll praise him. No, it doesn't matter what happens. I want to be Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach in the fire with the Son of God. Throw me in the fire. I'm not going to bow to your culture. I'm not going to bow to your gods. I'm not going to handle it your way. I'm going to trust God. And so he is the fundamental foundation that's under our feet. And the last one, rest, find rest in God's reserves. Because this is what it says. It says, which I keep on reserve. Everyone say reserve. That I keep on reserve, which means that he has put something aside for you. Okay, he's put something aside for you on your worst day. I put on reserve for the time of great trouble, for the day of the battle, the day of war. You need to rest in the fact that God has already seen what it is that you're facing. Now, in the sovereignty of God and the predestined of God and all these theological terms, we think, did God really see what it is I was going to go through? Yes, because God is infinitely ahead of every action of humanity, infinitely. Now, we're not gonna get into that today, but God sees it. What he's waiting for is the response of our heart. Because if you mess up in your heart, if I get bitter or angry, he goes, well, you know, I was hoping for Doug, he wouldn't do that because I had something there. So now what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna wait for him to respond. So I'm just gonna change my plan and get ahead of his response. So I'm still planning to bless him. And at every point in my life, whether I make a good decision or a bad decision, God is still there. That's why the Bible says that he will never leave you or forsake you. He will never, oh, Pastor Elliot made a bad decision. He's on his own. You know what I mean? Like Elliot just messed up. He's on his own. Pastor Malia, she is on her own. Elliot's clothes did not match on a Sunday morning. He came out here and, you know, he had a cowlick the size of just hanging out there. He's on his own. He got mad at his wife. He's on his own. You know what I mean? That's not how it works. Anytime that we make a decision in our heart and we go a certain way, God's already in front of it, just waiting to bless us, waiting to help us, waiting for us to learn. And then he just takes us from that point and we move on. But there's something in reserve for you. It's always there. Let me read Psalms chapter 37, verses 23 and 24, and then we'll wrap this up. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. He makes firm the steps. Makes firm your steps. Your steps. He's got you. He understands you. And he wants to make firm your steps. So with each decision, with each step that you take, learning the sovereignty of God, your steps get more firm, which means we get more humble, which means that we respond a little better, which means that we understand that sovereignty is the foundation. He wants to make firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, everyone say that's me, okay? Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We stumble, we don't fall. Why? Because he's there. Because he's got a reserve for you. He's got an answer for you. He's got a plan for you. I do these little surveys now and then in church, but I hope they don't get old. Just how many of you have ever screwed up? Why is not every hand in the room? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. Right? Do you know when we fall? So we stumble, but we don't fall. The only time we fall is when we reject the sovereignty. It's when we reject the Father. We reject the answer. And then he still faithfully comes along. He picks you up and he loves you. Okay? So we're going to finish right here and I'm going to pray. And then I want to make one announcement. Please stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. And I want to pray for you today. And I'd like you to, as you're standing, because I know in my heart, like I know in my spirit that some of you needed to hear this word today. I want you to bow your head with me. Bow your heads with me just for a second. Let me pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I understand that in church, these things happen all the time. We just do this because I only want you to hear three things: your own thoughts, God, and my voice. I just want us to have a little conversation. So every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Some of you came to church today and you woke up and it was winter. At some point this last week or this last month, you woke up to winter. And God wants you to know that what you think is a bad thing, it's actually a good thing, because the Bible says he's gonna turn all things around for your good. And just trying to get a response out of you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to serve you. He's trying to refine define you in a way that our entire life glorifies God. And he's not gonna let you fall. He will be with you through the entire journey. But if you woke up at some point this last, I don't know, a few weeks, whatever, you woke up to winter, I want you to lift your hand and I wanna see you and I wanna pray for you. And there's hands all across the room, all over this room. Father, keep that hand up just for a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless every person with their hand lifted, because God, here's the thing, God wants you to know that, it's silly for me to say, I see that hand. I want you to know that God already sees it. Like, you're lifting your hand and you're saying, okay, I acknowledge it. I woke up to winter, okay? God already saw your winter. And I want you to know that God already has a plan. God wants to take your anxiety, the stress, and all the things that you're carrying. He says, let me carry the heavy load. This is for somebody. I believe the Lord is saying, you're carrying it. It's getting too heavy. You gotta let me carry the heavy load. You carry the worship, you carry the presence, you carry all, but let me carry the problem and trust me. He says, this is what he's saying to you right now. Father, I thank you for every hand that's lifted. Maybe there's some that weren't, but I pray that you would fill them with faith, that you would take away fear, that you would take away anxiety, and that we would lean into your arms. We would lean into who you are. And so Jesus, for all of us that have our hands lifted, we came in today and the only thing that we have left to stand on is your sovereignty. The only foundation left is that we trust you. So I'm grateful, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you bless them and that you would strengthen them. God, I love you so much today, Jesus. I love you so much. I love you so much, Jesus. Oh, Father, I wanna do something. I want everyone to just keep your eyes closed just for a moment. If your hand was lifted, I'm gonna ask you to come worship at the front. And I know that it's not easy. I know that it's not easy. And there's 100 reasons to not get out of your seat. And we do altar calls all the time. I understand that. But I want you to just come worship at the front. If you woke up to winter, I want you to come down and we're gonna sing this song and I want you to worship at the front just for the last 2 or 3 minutes. Because I believe that God wants to just, there's something in you that needs to get free, and maybe stepping out of the seat is like this spiritual act, this spiritual moment of faith for you where you walk out of fear and into faith. I could do metaphors all day. I just want, if you lifted your hand, I want you to come to the front. When I say go, some of you are already coming. I want you to think about it, okay? As soon as they begin to sing, come out of your seat and worship at the front. In Jesus' name, come on, let's sing it.